Oh my gosh, we're doing this.
We are.
Wow. Well, welcome to Sticky Pickles. Ever found yourself stuck in a pickle, knee deep in a dilemma? Question is, what do you do now? I'm Maria.
And I'm Carol, and this is season 5, episode 1 of Sticky Pickles. Love bombs and do me a favor. But first, hi Maria.
Hi Carol, good to talk to you again.
Do you know, last time we did the show, since then, you did the Padmash Challenge and rode like 200 miles in 2 days. Ridiculous.
Yes. Yes, thank you.
I was in an art show, got in the Oxford Art Society show, which was
yes,
very cool.
Yes, you did. Congratulations.
So, you know, we didn't waste our time off.
No, we were busy as hell.
We were busy and did great things. And now we are back. But I have something to share with you.
Oh.
Before we start.
Okay.
We did receive a review while we were on holiday. Now, I love reviews, right? Because it does show that, you know, listeners care enough about the show to comment and support us. Like, so great.
Yes.
But this one was a little disconcerting, and I'm going to read it to you, and you can tell me what you think. Okay.
Okay.
So five out of five stars.
Brilliant. Okay, great. Love it already.
Amazing podcast title. Okay, ready?
Yes.
I am 11.
Oh! Oh, wait.
Yep. Wait. I am 11. And not inappropriate naughty, but this podcast is absolutely amazing and inspired me to create my own.
Oh.
I have heard every episode and I can't wait for more.
Oh.
From Turtle208. So we have a turtle loving tween eavesdropping on adult conversations here.
I won't tell if you won't tell.
You know, I would have done exactly the same thing. I was obsessed with all things adult when I was young, honestly.
Yeah. Well, to our amazing listener, tell us the info about your podcast. That's awesome.
Yeah. Hello at stickypickles.com and send it and we'll take a listen.
Yeah, we'd love that. That's awesome. Well, that's really thrilling. Oh, that's great.
Yeah. But remember, we don't know anything. Okay. We're just female comedians letting our hair down. Most adults forget to do this or
this
do it
true.
In crazy destructive ways. And this is our way of handling that. Okay. And so no judgment.
Yeah, don't take anything we say seriously.
No, definitely not. All right. So you're opening the show today with love bombs. So Maria, tell me, what is your sticky pickle?
Okay, so my sticky pickle is about a long-term married couple. They've been married for over 20 years, which is like unfathomable to me. It's I've only been married for 10, so 20 is like, wow. The married couple in this case is Hank and Nancy.
Okay.
Hank and Nancy.
Yeehaw. Okay. And it sounds a bit yeehaw-y. Is it yeehaw-y?
It is a little yeehaw, but I just wanted to go for the most middle America names I could think of. Hank and Nancy. And after 20 years, you're usually pretty settled into your marriage. But you can also have a little bit of, I don't know, I've heard of the 7-year itch, but I've also heard of the 20-year itch where, you know, especially if you have kids by around 20 years, a lot of cases the kids are out of the house and many married
couples. It's a bit like the pandemic special where you're both looking at each other going, what the fuck are we doing here? Like, what's the point of us now?
Yes. And maybe there is no point anymore. That's a little bit where Nancy keeps finding herself. She doesn't want to divorce Hank. She's just definitely thinking life has gotten really stale and Hank is getting on my nerves more often than not. And some doubts have definitely come to the fore.
Ooh, okay.
So their marriage is on the rocks. So Hank is the kind of person who's very physically affectionate. Nancy is not. Hank is the kind of person who loves to do like big outings together. As long as everybody can see that they're together and, you know, we're putting a good front out there, he's happy. Nancy likes the quiet moments.
Mm-hmm.
He needs the physical proof, the words of affirmation. He needs all that.
He needs touch. He needs people to see him. He needs to get like, I'm the best husband award, whatever he can.
He does. And he needs his friends to admire how good his marriage is to Nancy. And Nancy's all like, I know I'm good. I don't need all that. I prefer acts of service, for example. Like, I love it when you fix
Someone's read the five love languages or something.
It's true. It's true. I did a little bit borrow from them. But yeah, 20 years and, you know, a lot of the wells have maybe run dry. All the toilets have been fixed. Hank is no fool. He sees that Nancy is really starting to distance herself.
Right.
And he's genuinely worried that he might be losing her. So he does what he knows how to do best. And that is huge physical proof of his love.
So he's humping her leg at every opportunity.
Yes. Yes. Wow. We've got an 11-year-old listening to you.
Sorry, turtle.
He starts out for what he considers small. Like, he's texting her several times a day while she's at work. I love you. I love you. I love you. You're the best. Oh, my gosh. You're amazing.
Oh, barf. Sorry.
Yeah. Sorry. Phone calls at work, especially at lunchtime. Like, hey, how's it going? Oh, I missed you so much. I hope you're having a wonderful day.
You know, I totally get that reaction, though, right? Because someone's pulling away. You're thinking, okay, I got to show them that I care.
Yes.
So then you kind of put it in bold and underline it and, you know, highlight it. But it's too much. It's like too much. It's too much.
Yeah. And you would think also Hank being married to Nancy for 20 years that he might know that about her. But he's reacting in the way that makes sense to him. Right. So for him, these like messages and pings and stuff are him going small. But he's also sending emails to like Nancy's work email. And, you know, she's got all her deadlines and her client emails coming in. And then suddenly something from Hank, like, heart, 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 heart. Love you, sexy. You're amazing. Oh, my God. Kisses, kisses. It's driving her a little nuts. But she's kind of keeping it to herself because she's like, listen, you know, he's my husband. It's okay. It's whatever. So she doesn't say anything to Hank. Would you say something to Hank at this point?
I think I'd be like, tone it down. It's kind of great. Yeah. Like, my body language would be so bad. Especially if I was feeling overwhelmed, right?
Mm.
And I wasn't sure where my heart was, right? Because right now I'm on the rocks. Yeah, I would find it like pressury, like a puppy, I don't know, and very unsuspecting.
So Nancy does not do that because she feels bad. She knows that Hank is doing this out of love and she's like, oh, he's trying. So, you know, I can't blame him. But she says nothing.
Tight smiles, yeah.
Yeah, just kind of like, yeah, I got your message, or like she'll not respond, or it'll be terse, and you know they'll just talk when they get home, kind of thing. So Hank takes this as a signal that he's got clear runway to continue doing what he's doing. So next come the giant bouquets of red roses delivered to her desk at work.
Yes, and that is the problem with her reaction, right? Because he's kind of going, oh, what she's saying to me is it's not enough yet, dear. Right. So rev the engines.
Up the ante. Right?
So,
yes,
okay. So
yes.
The roses arrive. Long stem, I presume.
Of course.
Stupidly expensive.
The baby's breath and like in a gorgeous crystal vase. And not only is it just once, this is like once a week that these roses come into work. And they take up like 3/4 of her desk. And you can't not notice them. And my God, are Nancy's coworkers jealous?
I know. Is she auctioning off the crystal vases every week, right, to some lucky winner?
Yeah, she's just leaving them there. And one of her coworkers, her name happens to be Janet. This is driving Janet insane because Janet's like, you have no idea how lucky you are to have a man that treats you this way. And, you know, he's giving all this good stuff and you're all just grumbly about it. Like, you're so spoiled. You have no idea how much I would give for my husband to pay half as much attention to me as this.
Wow. Okay. So Janet's appropriating it all and going, this is my dream, basically. Like, this is my princess moment and you're vomiting all over it. You have no idea what you have.
How do you not appreciate a dozen gorgeous, these are not supermarket roses. These are like florist gorgeous roses. How do you not appreciate
them? You could eat them.
You could caress yourself with them.
Okay. Okay. Turtle. Okay. Turtle.
Right,
turn off.
Turtle. We got 11-year-old. You could make perfume from them. Anyway. But Nancy's just, there's discomfort on her face every time they arrive. She kind of wants to hide and die a little bit. And Janet sees this and, you know, Nancy's not like wandering around the office going, my husband's the worst. But Janet is picking up on the fact that Nancy's clearly extremely uncomfortable with it because it's all over her face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So when after like the third or fourth time these bouquets arrive, Nancy goes home and she goes, honey, Hank, those roses were so beautiful. And before she can say the next sentence. Hank's like, oh, I'm so glad you like them because I had to go like five towns over to find the best florist because like the other four florists were garbage. But that florist, like, oh my gosh, they had those shipped in straight from like this amazing organic farm. And like they had to peel the thorns off. And he goes on for like 10 minutes about how it was this whole ordeal for him to get these roses. And like,
you know what I'm thinking right now? If I was, you know, this is what's going on in my head. I don't know if it's going on in Nancy's head, but how much did they cost?
Yeah, a little bit of that.
Because it's our, I'm presuming it's our like money. I'm assuming have a shared account
stuff. Yeah. And like they're putting at least two children through college right now, which in the US is a very expensive endeavor. So it's not like they're not rolling in dough, but they're not poor. So this is still like an impact. Yeah.
Yeah. But Hanky is trying to communicate, you matter to me, right? Like you matter. You matter a lot.
No amount of money is too small or too large for my dearest Nancy. My Nance. So he's going on and on about how much trouble it was to find these flowers and how it was a whole big schlep. And like he had to find only the best for his Nance. And by the time he's done explaining all this, like Nancy has no energy emotionally. She drops in there like, maybe you don't need to do the red roses every week. Like maybe you could just a little. I've got the message. Thank you, sweetie. Hank's like, oh, all right. So next week.
It's like a joke.
Yeah. When Nancy's at her desk, a singing telegram arrives.
Oh, shut up. I was just going to say.
He does. However, he is not holding the bouquet of red roses. It is a fruit basket.
Okay. Attached to?
With a little teddy bear. No, not attached to any genitalia.
Sorry, turtle.
There's nothing in a box. Nothing like that. And you know, it's a little fruit basket. It's small and, in, you know, something that she can eat for her lunch and maybe share. And there's no residual flowers on her desk to mortify her all week.
But the telegram,
well, it's a freaking singing so telegram.
That's what I'm not interested in the fucking delivery. I'm interested in the deliverer. So yeah, the
deliverer. Yeah. He's got a good singing voice. He does a good job. And, you know, he's singing one of their favorite songs and it's all nice. But of course, he makes a big to-do and the entire office watches Mr. Singing Telegram walk through the door, start belting out opera or whatever it is. And everyone's on their phones taking video and Nancy just completely wants to melt through the floor.
Yeah. So at this point, I'd go home and I'd be like, do you want me to tattoo across my forehead? I am married. Like, is that what this is? Like, I find this controlling. It's not private.
Coworker Janet is like swooning over how romantic Hank is. Of course she is. And she doesn't understand why Nancy is so mortified by this. And so when Nancy goes home and talks to Hank, again, before she can get a word in edgewise, Hank says, well, I figured this way I'm still showing you I love you, but it's not like a big embarrassing display that's going to hang around all week. It's like a thing. It's more subtle.
WTF, a fucking singing telegram? Are you serious?
He's got a sense of humor, right?
Yeah, he's on the wacky backy.
Yeah, well, maybe a little bit. It is getting more legal over here. But Nancy can't help but shake the feeling that she's being disrespected.
And by him.
By him. Where do you fall on this?
He's not hearing her. That's the problem.
Is she saying enough?
Okay, good, Maria, good. Complicated.
Because, I mean, singing telegrams are mortifying for everybody. I don't think there's, actually, are there people who genuinely enjoy singing telegrams? Like, they're awesome, they're not embarrassing at all.
Let us know. Hello at stickypickles.com.
Yeah, I want to know. Because I'm pretty sure the point is they're supposed to be a little bit embarrassing.
So, okay. I know I worked in a big office. People would occasionally get like these big bouquet of flowers or balloons from loved ones, right? They'd be in the, you know, and I wouldn't, you know, whatever. They would just be in the office. And you would suddenly go, wow, like someone cares about somebody. That's pretty sweet.
Yes.
So that is the impression you get. If someone were getting it every week, you would think, interesting relationship.
Right? Someone's in the doghouse
or something. I don't know. That's a bit, you know, but maybe, or maybe they really love dead flowers. You know, I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like everyone has their thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think anyone would say you're going a bit strong there, Hank.
Mm.
No, except for Janet.
Except for, yeah, okay, so I'm personally, my husband loves to give me amazing elaborate bouquets and I adore it. So like, I absolutely love it. It's the kind of attention I love. He knows this. He goes all out and I love it. And especially when I worked in an office, people would always stop and talk about the flowers. And I was like, yep, I love this. Yeah. This is totally
win-win.
Fine by me.
Win-win.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. I'm completely great with it. But if somebody says, no, I don't like this, that's pretty much all that needs to be said, right?
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, but it's kind of, but I imagine Janet would be like, how could anyone not like getting flowers?
Well, fuck Janet, actually. Like, who cares about Janet?
Yeah, what does Janet know?
Okay,
yeah.
Janet has a different life, a life ambition, and, you know, whatever. Good luck to Janet.
Nancy should just give the flowers to Janet.
Yes!
Oh, you know what? Problem solved.
There you go.
Take them home, Janet.
Here you go. Here you
go.
They're yours. Done and done. And singing Kellogram. No. I'm not Nancy.
It's for her.
She's
for her.
Nancy.
She's problem solved.
Yeah.
We'll figure out world peace
love
while
by
we're at
proxy.
It on this podcast. Yeah, there
love
we go.
By proxy.
Girl, you're brilliant.
We're brilliant.
We're both quite brilliant. Krull, your sticky pickle is do me a favor. What's that about?
So I also have a work scenario. Isn't that funny?
Oh, it's interesting.
Okay, so we've got Gemma.
Gemma, okay.
And Gemma has a closest work colleague, Izzy. You know that kind of thing. Like, you don't hang out outside the office, but your desks are closed for years.
Oh, yes.
Right? You get on.
Oh, yes.
And you kind of bond, but like... You don't bond, but you bond. Like, it's a work bond.
It's trenches humor.
Trenches,
yes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And both of them have partners, young kids, like early, mid-30s, right? And it's not like they have much free time anyway to hang out, even if they wanted to, right? Because they're working and mm-hmm. blah, blah, blah. So Izzy comes in one morning to the office, right? She's disheveled completely, not like her. She has this harassed look, again, not like her. And it even looks like she's been crying again.
Oh,
like nothing that we've seen before.
Okay.
So of course, Gemma's like, what's wrong? Oh my God, are you okay? And Izzy hangs her head and says, look, like, so she's like, my wife and I just bought this massive house. Right. And Gemma knows all about it. She saw the pictures. She went through the real, you know, she,
she was there every step of the way.
At every step of the way. Right. During lunch break.
Yeah.
Okay. And it took every penny, you know, plus some, but they both had, you know, good jobs. Everything was great. They moved in a few months ago, but my wife, sobs Jenna, is a fucking hothead, and she told the boss off, lost her super high-paying job, and so now I'm fucked unless I get this promotion.
Okay.
Right? And what? Right. So, and she's just completely distressed.
And the two of them are parallel coworkers. That's not the right word.
Well, yes, they are. Yeah, exactly.
Okay.
They are. And both of them have applied, and you know, for this promotion.
Okay, well, friendly competition.
Exactly. Now, Bob's also applied, right? But there's no way he's moving up the ladder. Like, he's been wearing the same t-shirt every day, like, every day. Like, same one.
No chance, Bob. No chance. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, no chance, Bob. Now, okay, also you should know, Gemma doesn't have financial issues like this at all. Like, she's married to some big hotshot lawyer guy, and so this job is not, like, a financial requirement. But she likes her job and she's ambitious and she's good at it.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah, fair enough.
But it happens. Izzy looks at her and pleads, like begs, right? For Gemma to take herself out of the running for the promotion.
Oh.
And she looks like a lost puppy with this face full of tears, something Gemma has never seen her do ever in the whole 2 years she's known her. And she's like, I'll promise I'll support you if the property comes. I swear on my kids' lives. Please, I beg you.
Oh, that's...
So, sticky pickle number one.
Ugh.
I know.
Very uncomfortable with the request being made at all.
I know. But it's like, I don't think you doubt the request. You know what I mean? You don't doubt the authenticity of it. It doesn't feel like a scam or anything like that.
No, I just, I'd be like, have some pride and some self-confidence that... Because, you know, if you got the promotion, then you'd be like, did I actually earn it? Or... you know, begging your competition, even if it's friendly, to not compete just feels, I don't know, bad sportsmanship. Mm. Is that the right?
Yeah. But if you're like going to lose your house because you put all your eggs in one basket, maybe you do like, oh, please, please, God. Although, like, for someone like me, I'd be like, well, that house is five times the size of mine. So I don't know.
Yeah, maybe you need to downsize. And that's just.
Yeah, but that's a. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I'm just super uncomfortable with that request being made because you, I mean, I don't know. We don't know everybody's life situation and, you know, shit can happen anytime. You know, I'm very uncomfortable. Like, ugh, don't make that request. Yeah.
Yeah, but it's happened, right? And Gemma decides to pull out.
What a good friend.
Because she decides that she would feel selfish if she didn't. And she doesn't need the money, right? And she knows she can get the, you know, the promotion next time she applies.
Okay.
So she's just like, you know, fuck it. This is a good win for me career-wise. It'll work out. This is not a bad thing for me.
Okay. Good for you, Gemma. That's very generous. Jeez.
Yeah, yeah, right. So Izzy does get the promotion.
All right, congrats, Izzy.
All because, you know, Gemma pulled out. We don't know that, but, you know, right?
Presumably. Okay. Yep.
And everything's rolling on fine. Izzy's appreciative, right? And Gemma's cool. And soon Izzy becomes Gemma's direct line manager. And it feels a bit weird, right? Anyone who's been in that position before with a friend, it always feels weird. Doesn't matter what side you're on of the party. One makes more money, but both stress out. But they both make it work. Okay.
Okay.
And then, Maria, and then something happens. Gemma has a scheduled presentation in front of like some new big prospect clients. And she's dusted off the presentation. She's done all the leg, you know, she's done the meet and greet. She's, you know, ha, 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 let's have drinks, the whole thing. You know, she tweaked the presentation to, you know, to meet, to address the client's exact needs, you know, all that shit. But she also develops this big fat herpes sore on the side of her mouth.
way out of nowhere. All right, turtle.
These things happen.
You know, and they're not, oh, you know, it can be for totally innocent reasons. For the record, a cold sore is a herpes sore.
Exactly. She got them often when she was stressed out. And she, you know, right now she's a little stressed out. But there you are. It's like staring her in the face. And this is the night before the whole thing, right? And she just recently read online on the Instas that the way to get rid of an oozy bit of cold sore is to just dab a little bleach on it and then cover it with a Band-Aid and go to bed. So she decides to go ahead and do that.
Please do not take medical advice from our podcast. I'm just like, does that sound right to me? No.
No, because it should, because I get it. The antiseptic-y angle, like clean it out, bacteria, but it's not bacteria, it's viral. It's a different thing. And she wakes up, her face is feeling a little hot and quite wet. And she looks in the mirror and Gemma is horrified because the bleach has effectively eaten away at her skin like a skin peel would. Right? So she's got this ginormous, like softball sized skin peel across the left side of her cheek, mouth, and face.
Holy shit. I'm sorry. This Phantom of the Opera mask is going to be needed here.
Like, I know. And this is, I know this because I worked in a restaurant once and the woman who I worked with, who's my fellow cook, did this. And this is what happened to her face. So I am not lying. I saw it with my own eyes.
Oh, God almighty.
Okay, right? So obviously there's no way she can do the presentation like this. So of course she calls Izzy, right? This is like 2 years on. And she's like, look, she explains the sitch, my face, skin peel, bleach, herpes, total fuck up, can't do the presentation. Please, 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 can you stand in for me? And Izzy says, okay. Who gets the bonus if I win them over? Right? And Gemma goes, well, I did all the prep work to get us to the stage. So I was kind of thinking maybe I could kind of get it. And Izzy says nothing. And then Gemma goes, do you kind of remember when I stood down from that promotion 2 years ago?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, geez. All of this is making me very uncomfortable.
And thank you. It's sticky. It's sticky.
Yeah, this is extremely sticky for a whole host of reasons. My my main thing in life is I don't like to owe people favors. And asking someone to not go after a promotion isn't just like a favor. That is a life-changing thing. And I don't think...
But it wasn't. It wasn't for Gemma.
Yeah, right. But saying don't, I mean, you never know what paths that will close off for you.
Yeah.
And I mean, that's a hell of a debt to owe somebody. And like, she does owe that. There's no way you don't owe somebody big for something like that. Yeah.
I totally agree. Because that's like reoccurring month on month extra money.
Oh, hell yeah. And also just like your career progression and all sorts of opportunities that you don't know you might miss out on if that's something you really want.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. So what about this? So you've just been presented.
So sticky, girl. Oh, good season opener.
Yeah. Thanks. So, okay. So she like, remember I stood down from that promotion? And Izzy doesn't say anything for a bit. And she goes, like, so she goes, look, Gemma, the problem is I'm your boss and you got yourself in this pickle and you want me to bail you out. And I get it, but this is not something that happened to you, but something you kind of ended up doing to yourself. And I wouldn't be a good boss if I bailed you out of this.
Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
She's almost done. I think you need to show that you can see a difficult situation through. But if you agree that I can get the entire bonus for closing, I'm in. Otherwise, good luck.
The audacity. The audacity. Oh,
right?
My God.
She's on the phone. She's saying it very crisply as a boss does to an underling in a kind of protective
mom voice.
Yeah, mom voice.
Yeah, mom voice. Yeah,
exactly.
Oh, the audacity. Oh, my God. Okay.
You are Gemma. What do you do now? Sticky Pickle Season 5, Episode 1.
Genuinely, I'm like, why can this not be rescheduled to a time when someone's face is not oozing? I mean, seriously, that's all I can think about. I'm like, just fucking reschedule it. Just reschedule.
Because they're super huge clients.
Doesn't fucking
matter. They're
going to
give them bonuses of like 50,000 million billion.
Okay, this is why I don't work corporate anymore. Because I'm just like, what if her mom died or something? Like, would you be like, no, the show must go on? Like, come on.
But that wouldn't be something she did to herself.
Who cares? It's a medical emergency. I wouldn't see. This is maybe just my experience with my prior bosses. I would never trust a boss of mine to be able to fill in that role because they never knew what the fuck I was doing. So, okay, that sounded a lot meaner than I meant it. I mean, their job is not.
Yeah, fuck you, ex-boss Sabrina.
Oh, God, no.
Sorry, turtle. That happens too.
No, genuinely, like, they're doing their stuff up there, and they're like, Maria, do you have your shit sorted? And I'd be like, yeah, and I would. So they wouldn't know how to, like, do a presentation for me. I mean, they could, like, read the slides or something, but. You know, genuinely, it's like if I was a subject matter expert, like my job was sort of to also teach my boss. So
I think we need to assume there's no rescheduling opportunity because they've flown in from China. They have flown in from China.
Well, next time they can all fly out to China and give it or do it over the internet. Like, have we not learned anything from this pandemic?
Okay. So basically, season 5, Maria cops out and can't handle it.
I'm doing my whole poking holes in your story for no good reason thing. Like, why Could it not be an email or just done over the internet? Like, why does it have to happen with her Uzi face?
You're Sherlock Holmes to my fucking Dr. Watson.
Listen, it's just Uzi faces, you know, or she can wear Phantom of the Opera mask over her Uzi side.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
The Phantom of the presentation is here.
Well, you know what she ends up doing? Mm. Do you know what she ends up doing? She goes in wearing a mask, claiming COVID, I have a cold, let's not fuck around.
Oh.
She goes to the front, she sets up the lighting so she's backlit. She does the presentation, okay, then re-puts on her mask, and then she gets the client, she collects her bonus,
boom.
She hands in her recognition, boom. And good fucking riddance.
Oh, I love that. Love it, love it, love it, love it.
Bye, Gemma, or, you know, bye, Izzy.
Which one's which?
Whatever your name is.
That's awesome. Microphone drop. Love that. Love that for her. Girl boss.
No, thank you, COVID, for giving us the opportunity to wear masks when bleached herpetic sores just decide to weep.
Got a wee herp going on. Yeah, it's good times.
That's it for our first and best season 5 of Sticky Pickles. If we made you smile, you know what to do. Get off your butts and review or don't.
But it'd be good.
But it would be nice.
And you can always get in touch with us on social media. We are at Sticky Pickles on Twitter. And a lot of you said hi over the summer. We missed you too. And we're back. And at Sticky Pickles Pod on Instagram. And hey, we're also on Instagram now. Go find her.
Dun, dun, dun.
Anything else you can find on stickypickles.com. We're back, baby.
I can't even talk. That was like the 3-punch Rocky salute. And audience, I hope you loved it.
Bye.